Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we welcome in Pedro Martinez, who joins us now. Pedro, welcome. How are you? Mike Francesa, WFAN. How are you doing?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good,
thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You're getting ready for a Hall of Fame weekend. How you feel about that? Your buddy going in the Hall of Fame, Vladimir Guerrero, right?
Yes, sir. I'm extremely happy and proud. I'm actually on my way right now.
Yeah, you know, how old were you the first time you guys crossed paths?
I was probably in my 20s, still with the Dodgers when Vladdy was actually attending the academy. Those were the first time I got to see him and his brothers, Wilson and Eliezer. They were at the academy, and I was already with the Dodgers on my way over to establishing myself in the big league.
Well, did you know right away the first time you saw him that he was going to be special?
To be honest, no. I didn't know if he was going to be special. I saw the raw talent, you know, the big guy with kind of a skinny, long swing, but I never expected to see this much from Vladdy. So I thought Wilton was going to be better because Wilton was more mature, more like a player. And then all of a sudden, Vladdy showed up, and man, did he develop.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, for a guy to be as undisciplined as he was and to never strike out and be as good a bad ball hitter and swing at everything and still only hit 318 and never strike out 100 times. Unbelievable.
Well, Vladdy is a special specimen. I've never seen someone more difficult to pitch because you thought to throw a strike. You thought to pitch around the plate, and Vladdy was the total opposite. You could not pitch Vladdy outside of the plate. It's really difficult to describe Vladdy. Vladdy is a special talent, and his hand-eye coordination is off the chart. For someone to do that, you got to have some special talent.
We're talking with the great Pedro Martinez, who obviously Hall of Famer. Now, you know, this year, your handiwork has been very present with the Yankees because I know, having interviewed him, that you had a lot to do with Severino.
Well, you know, Mike, I think it's everybody's duty. When you pass by the game and you're already done and you have some experience and someone asks you for help, I think it's our duty to actually pass it along and make the game better. And I'm extremely proud to have influenced Severino somehow, even though all the credit should go to him because he was the one that did the work. He was the one that put the time to repeat the little things that I introduced him to. A lot of people question, well, you with Boston, but you helped Severino. I said, you know what? As a veteran, someone that played the game and understand the game, I think my duty is to actually pass it along. And I don't know if Severino one day will probably pass it along to one of my kids. So I'm extremely proud to have helped Severino and anybody else. And it's not just Severino that I help. I help a lot of the guys that come over asking questions or asking me for suggestions, and I'm more than happy to do that.
Was it basically with the changeup with him, or was it more than just the changeup?
To be honest, it was more than just the changeup. It was mechanics. I actually went a little bit further than people think. I moved his hands and the glove hand. I had him practicing different things that I thought will help him. And right now I'm watching everything he did developing into a great thing for for Severino.
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking with Pedro Martinez. I saw him the year where he was going to either be a reliever or a starter, and he said, I'm going to be a starter. I'm going to work on our third pitch. And he had mentioned that he had worked with you. I saw him in February that year. And, boy, he turned it around because people were wondering whether he was going to be a bullpen guy with two pitches or get that third pitch down. And he worked very hard, and look what he's done. He's become one of the premier starters in the game.
Well, what I saw from Severino was he was exposing the ball really early. Even as a starter, with the two pitches that Severino had, the slider and the fastball, I think Severino would have done better if he didn't expose the ball so early. But thanks to God and David Ortiz, who told me that Severino needed help, and Big Papi actually explained to me what he was seeing from Severino, how quick he was picking up the ball from Severino, and actually took him deep a couple of times. And he felt kind of bad because he said, you know, this is a kid that wants to learn. You're his biggest idol. He wants to get to know you, work with you. And David explained to me what he was seeing from Severino. And I went right after that, as soon as I met Severino, and I told him that I would work with him in the winter. And we worked on that, and Severino now hides the ball really well and does the things that he needed to do. But working on the changeup, yes, we did a lot of work on the changeup, a lot of repetitions, and I had him doing some drills that I used to do for my own self to get my changeup better.
We're talking with Pedro Martinez. You know, you work with a lot of these guys. You're also known to be a guy who was very smart about pitching. When you work with these young guys, and obviously all of them have live arms, they all can throw the fastball, what's the most important thing they have to do to be successful on the big league level? Like, what's the one thing that they have to have to do that? Is it control? Is it the live arm? Is it the ability to throw X number of pitches? What has to be there?
The first thing that they have to do, to my understanding, is take command of their bodies on top of the rubber. It means having good balance. And then after that, it's locating. I think location is the most important thing for the guys. I mean, hitters are going to give you knuckles sometimes. Good hitters are going to give you knuckles. But there's a lot of mediocre hitters that you shouldn't struggle with, especially when you have a live arm. You know, like we are seeing nowadays, 95 and above on average on every team you see pitchers every day, 95 and above, up to 100. If you locate those and you're able to repeat your mechanics, I think you should be able to take control on some of the things that you struggle with during the game, some of the hitters. Not all of them are going to be good hitters. Some of them, if you just locate well, you should be able to dominate with 95 and above. And if you have somewhat a second or a third pitch, you should be able to have success.
And we're talking with Pedro, who is one of the best pitchers, not only I've ever seen, but one of the best pitchers of all time. Adjusted ERA, everything else in a hitter's era. The numbers just scary, some of the things that you were able to do. I mean, really remarkable. Still pitched the best game I ever saw, and it was the game where Chili Davis hit the home run. The game he hit the home run, and you didn't give up anything else the rest of the game. Nothing. They never touched you another moment that game. I'm sure you remember that game against the Yankees where Chili hit the homer. You did not give up anything the rest of the game.
And what a homer he did hit. I even actually stopped to look at where the ball was going to land. You know, Chili went out there looking for fastball. I happened to throw the fastball. And, boy, even I enjoyed it. If you're going to give up a homer, that's got to be one of the homers that you need to give up. Because that was a true homer. That wasn't a cheapie.
You know what I always think about you, too, though, is you weren't afraid to throw inside, which a lot of these pitchers have to do, right? I mean, you plunk guys. I mean, I remember games where you'd plunk guys at the top of the game. I mean, you weren't afraid to hit someone. You weren't afraid to throw inside.
No, I wasn't. And believe it or not, most of my hit-by-pitches were probably on retaliation for something that previously happened. But I knew how to throw the ball in the inner part of the plate. I wanted to make a statement. I wanted to either move your feet off the plate or you were going to get hit. And some of the times I would just do it on purpose to keep you honest and then utilize the outside part of the plate. So, you know, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of repetition. It takes a lot of heart and determination to actually be able to do those things, because sometimes you're not going to be on point all the time, and sometimes you're going to miss. And with the kind of attitude I had when I went to pitch, I was really intense. A lot of people misjudge that, and sometimes you're going to get charged, and you're going to get bad looks, and you're going to get people barking at you. But you can't let that intimidate you. You have to continue to do what's good for you. And when you have a power arm, you might as well keep everybody honest, and you have to locate after you do the thing.
What year... Now, that last year in Montreal was the first year we saw the incredible dominant Pedro and then the Boston. What year were you at your best? If I gave one year where you said you were at the height of your abilities, what year was it?
I will have to say 99 and 2000. I felt like I was on top of the league. I knew what to do with the league. I knew what to do with my pitches, and I could execute, and my health was at the very, very high of my career. I felt like everything I wanted to do, I executed in 99 and 2000. I felt like I could locate, I could use the breaking ball, I could use the changeup, pinpoint control, and also I felt durable. I felt like I was totally healthy.
And if you go that, if you go 99 and 2000, you go a combined 41 and 10 in those 2 years. I mean, that's as good as it gets right there. With a great ERAs, I mean, you led the majors in the ERAs both years. I mean, that if you go that year and take out 2001, where I know that you were injured that year, but take that out and bring in 2002, for those 3 or 4 years, you were unbelievable. I mean, that whole run there from 99 to 2003, you were completely dominant.
Yeah, I felt like in the second half of 1996, I was really taking command of everything I wanted to do. And it carried over to 97, where I ended up winning the Cy Young.
What made the light go on? What happened that the light went on?
Well, I went to the All-Star game for the first time in 96 in Philadelphia. And I remember asking Glavine and Maddox and Smoltz, all those guys, about how they use their breaking stuff. And I, believe it or not, at that point in the All-Star game, I didn't know that I could use the changeup to either side of the plate. I was probably throwing a changeup but not really thinking about locating it. And since then, they told me about the backdoor breaking ball. Also, they told me that they use every pitch to every side of the plate, and the light just went on. I felt like I was on top of my game. I was using the breaking ball to either side. I was burying some breaking balls. It's not the same throwing a breaking ball as pitching with a breaking ball or pitching with a changeup just throw a changeup. And I learned all those things listening to those guys, and at that point, Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz were like the dynamic duo or trio that they had in Atlanta. They were doing everything perfect, living on location and doing all those things right. So I picked their brain, and it paid off for me. I really appreciate, you know, what they did for me.
I mean, stunning stuff. We're talking with Pedro Martinez, 313 strikeouts, 30 walks. Is that kind of control learned, or are you born with that kind of control?
Well, you learn to repeat your mechanics, Mike. Like I said earlier, when you feel comfortable on top of the rubber and you know exactly where you're going to land and what you want to do when you're going to throw each pitch, if I was going to go inside, I knew that 1 inch that I wanted to take my toe towards the inner part of the plate, was going to be there. When I wanted to go away, I would take that inch and move it to the outside part of my toe, my front toe. It was just amazing to be able to have such a good balance on the mound. And I learned and I practiced, and I never stopped practicing and putting it into play.
When you were on top like that, Pedro, and we're talking with Pedro Martinez, did you attack every hitter? Were there guys you pitched to? Were there guys you would try to pitch around, or guys you'd work to a different way? Or were you just so dominant then where you just knew that no one was going to hit you and you could attack every hitter?
I did that. I trusted what I had. Unbelievable confidence on all three of my pitches, and I could throw all three for strikes. It was just a matter of figuring out if you were guessing, what were you guessing? And I remember facing those Yankees, and I remember Bernie and Paul O'Neill actually sometimes giving away three at-bats and sometimes four, just looking for one pitch, because they knew that they couldn't guess all three. And so they would settle sometimes to give me an 0-for-3, because I would not give them the pitch that I thought they were looking for. And since I could command with the other two, I left them guessing.
So you were thinking along with them. Did you call your catcher off a lot? Did you shake him off a lot? Or did you listen to your catcher a lot?
I listened to my catcher, but I pitched my own game. And we got to know each other so well that sometimes I would just start shaking off before I even threw a fastball that I wanted to throw down the middle. But we got to know each other really well, and I trusted what he called, and I also believed in what I wanted to throw. So we picked each other up.
Was it more in those great days, Pedro? Was it more fastball changeup than anything? I mean, were there games where it was just fastball changeup, or was there always at least a decent number of breaking balls in there?
There were days, Mike, like you know, that one of the pitches wasn't there.
Right.
But you would never let anybody know. Even if you bury the first three curveballs and you don't have it, you have to continue kind of spin it.
You got to show it. So you got to show it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just so that you can show it to the guys and
right.
Make them think that you have it. But sometimes you just don't have the location for that pitch, and you still have to show it and hope that you don't get burned with it. But you have to continue to try to get it better as the game goes along. And I was really good at making adjustments during the game.
Did you get more strikeouts with the fastball or with the changeup?
I think with the fastball, because believe it or not, a lot of people were more into getting stuff than probably dealing with the fastball. I had pretty good movement on the fastball, and it was also 97 to 98. And some of them did not want to see that fastball open in.
Right. Could you move? I mean, were you that to the point where you could move the fastball pretty much wherever you wanted to move it?
Yeah. I felt like I was on top of my game when I had the fastball and I could locate it. Everything else was just extra.
Amazing.
But the fastball was the one that led me to do whatever I wanted to do.
I mean, the strikeout numbers are unbelievable, but the walk numbers are amazing. And that's the thing you see when you look at a guy like you or a Juan Marichal or any of these great pitchers. The strikeout to walk is unbelievable how few walks there are. You guys don't throw, other than Nolan Ryan, who just had the crazy arm, there aren't a lot of guys who have great success if they walk a lot of guys.
Well, I wanted to be efficient and save my bullet. I was always aware that I was on the smaller side of the pitchers when it comes to height and weight. So I wanted to be efficient. And that's why I worked so hard about, feeling comfortable on top of the mound and repeating my mechanics, because I really wanted to go after the hitters and make it as quick and as possible, and get it over with. Because I knew I was going to need bullets. And the Yankees were really good at taking pitches and running my pitch count high.
Tried to, absolutely, all the time. Pedro, what guy you like watching now? I mean, I know Severino's kind of a protege, but what guy do you like watching as far as the starting pitchers now?
There's a few of them, Mike. I love watching Verlander being rejuvenated, Scherzer. I love watching Chris Sale. Like, it's unbelievable what I'm seeing from him. now I know why so many people got hooked into watching me, because what Chris Sale is doing is unbelievable. I love watching him. You know who I love watching also? It's Tanaka. Tanaka is one of the last genetic pitchers that I see in the big league.
Explain.
I love watching his craft. I love watching how he has the proper idea about pitching around the plate.
So he's a classic. He's a classic pitcher, is what you're saying. He's still a classic pitcher, right?
Yes, yes. He's organic. He's one of those organic pitchers, and I love seeing the, you know, how he uses his mind and how he outsmarts a lot of the hitters. It's beautiful to watch.
Who was the smartest hitter that you faced? A guy you said, boy, he's good up there. He's a guy who really, he gets it. He's pretty good in that box. Who impressed you?
I would say Jeter. Jeter was one of the smartest guys I've ever seen in the game. You would never know when Jeter was feeling uncomfortable. You would never know. Another guy was Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran did not let you know what pitch bothered him. You know, what he was looking for. It was unbelievable to watch those two guys. And I know why they had so much success, especially during the postseason, when people get agitated and get excited and try to do a little bit too much. Those two guys never let you know that they were in a regular season game compared to a postseason game or Game 7 in the World Series. Those two guys, to me, were two of the smartest guys I've ever faced.
We're talking with Pedro Martinez, of course, Hall of Famer, and there's going to be a lot of Hall of Famers showing up this week. They said a record number showing up to see this year's group get in, including Vladimir Guerrero, who's Pedro's buddy. All right, Yankees, Red Sox. We're looking right now. The Red Sox have a lead. Yankees going to try and chase them down. They got 10 games left. They play next Thursday up in Fenway Park. Yankees got Happ. They got Britton to kind of help their team a little bit here. What's your thoughts about the Yankees and Red Sox down the stretch?
To be honest, Mike, I think it's going to go back and forth the entire season. I think these two teams are really, really talented, very well balanced, both teams. I'm seriously becoming a fan just because of what I'm seeing. And I think the rivalry is only going to get better because of the talent that both teams have. I think it's going to be really interesting to see which one of the two keeps it together. And I think it's all a matter of being healthy and being able to stay on the field for the longest. Whoever stays healthiest, it's going to probably end up winning the flag in the Eastern Division.
Well, listen, thanks for a couple of minutes, and enjoy your Hall of Fame weekend.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Mike,
Pedro. Anytime. Thank you very much. Pedro Martinez,
right, man.
My pleasure. Thank you. Does a great job. Very smart, obviously. I mean, one of the great pitchers. This guy, if you go a little guy, 219 wins, 100 losses. If you go down his years when he was on top of the game, I mean, these years that this guy had, ERA, adjusted ERA, number one all time. When you realize the era he was in and how good the offenses were in this era, his numbers are unbelievable. In the middle of his career, he went 17-8 with a 1.9 ERA, 19-7 with a 2.8 ERA, 23-4 with a 2.0, 18-6 with a 1.7, 20-4 with a 2.2, 14-4 with a 2.2, right in a row. And in those years, he led the league in win percentage four times, ERA five times, strikeouts four times. I mean, unbelievable. You know what were high numbers? Hit by pitch. Hit double digits every year. Led the league a couple times. And the strikeouts to walks, 313 to 37, 284 to 32, 239 to 25, 239 to 40, 227 to 47. I mean, amazing how few guys. He only had one year in his entire career where he had a loss more than a win in his, you know, for his record. And that was one of the years with the Mets. First year with the Mets, he went 15-8. After that, he was hurt and he wasn't the same. But he went 5-6 one year with the Mets. That's the only time he had a losing record in the season. 219 and 100 for his career. one of the legendary pitchers of all time. One of the greatest pitchers. Any, like him, don't like him, whatever. The guy's one of the greatest pitchers of all time, without any question. When he was on his game, he was scary good. That's how good he was.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.